We hope that you will call me, call in this hour, to tell us whether you use a landline telephone or if you've ditched it for a cell phone or internet-based service. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, July 11th. Telephone companies want to abandon landlines. AT&T would like to disable its entire network by the end of the decade. Would that be a problem for you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. The phone companies say traditional copper wire phone lines are outdated and costly, and customers continue to shift towards cell phones and internet-based service. But we'll talk with an industry expert who says many people still depend on copper lines, and we'll discuss how to ensure a smooth transition to alternative hookups. Our guest is Harold Feld, Senior Vice President for Public Knowledge, a Washington, D.C.-based group that advocates for public access to the Internet and other communications technologies. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Well, we saw a news story this week talking about how Verizon does not want to replace phone lines in the areas that were affected by Superstorm Sandy, saying how costly and outdated they are. AT&T, in a recent story, says it wants to get rid of its copper wire network by the end of the decade. Are these the final days of traditional telephone lines?
Well, we've got a couple of things that are happening. This is certainly a technology shift. Now, we've had technology shifts before on the phone system. We went, you know, from Mabel and the Switchboard Lady to, you know, our modern phone system. So, in one sense, a technology shift isn't anything new. What's different here is that we have a couple of different technologies, and we have a very different world than we had before when we've shifted the phone system. And our concern is that some of these technologies, like wireless, may not serve everyone's needs. There are some issues with some of these digital technologies as well. So the question here is, are we still going to have a telephone network that works for everybody? And if so, what's it going to look like?
Yeah. How many people still rely on the traditional landline?
Well, it's kind of hard to say when we talk about what do we mean by a traditional landline. We know that 40% of people are wireless only. So that means 60% of people have some kind of landline in their home. Of that percentage, a lot of them are now using a non-traditional service like Voice over Internet Protocol or VoIP, which is what the cable guys use. So if you get your landline service from a cable company, you're using a non-traditional phone, but it's still a landline. There are still, however, in the country, tens of millions of people who are using traditional copper line service. I'm not sure at the moment of the exact number. It's kind of hard to tell, but we're still probably talking about somewhere in the area of 60 million people who are still using the traditional copper landline service. Many of those in places where they don't have an alternative, but many of those in places where they do have an alternative, but you know, the basic copper service gives them something that they don't get out of the other services.
What does that copper line give them that they don't get out of the other services?
Well, copper's got the traditional copper line service has a couple of things going for it that people really like. One is that it's self-powered. So if you have a blackout, you still have phone service. Whereas if the phone, you know, the power goes out for your wireless service, that may not work if there's no power at the cell tower or when your cell phone battery goes out. And if you have one of these internet-based services, whether it's cable or some other kind of service like Magic Jack, that is not going to work when the power goes out. So that's been one big issue for people. Another one has been that the copper phone system has tended to be very reliable. We've traditionally had a lot of rules that say this service has to be 99.99% reliable. When it goes down, the phone company has to come and fix it. And a lot of people value that. These other services, these newer services, anybody who has a cell phone knows that the you get dropped calls. The calls are variable, and some people are willing to take that trade off. And some people say, "Well, I'll have the cell phone, you know, for mobility, but I still want the dependability of a copper line into the home." And you know, these internet services don't have the same reliability. They work, you know, great when they work, but we've had incidents, for example, when AT&T's UVerse digital voice service, which is on a copper line, but it's their internet service, that was out for 3 days a couple of months ago when they had a software glitch. So that doesn't happen on a traditional copper line. So you have a lot of people who like the dependability. You also have people who depend on certain services that are only compatible with that line. So, for example, you have a bunch of people who have heart monitors, pacemakers, medical devices that are set up that you can remotely monitor them through the telephone, because the telephone's this open, reliable platform that has traditionally been everywhere and around forever. Those don't work with some of these newer technologies. You have alarm services, security services. Many of them don't work with the new technology. So for a lot of customers who don't want to give up some of the other services that are dependent on these new technologies, you know, they stick with copper. Finally, there's a big issue of consumer protection. We have the best consumer protection rules for any service on the traditional copper lines because it's a public utility. So you have, you know, rules about truth in billing. You have rules about, you know, that protect you from, you know, all kinds of misconduct. They can't turn off the service right away. They have to give you time to pay your bill. These other services don't have those protections. And so people who like that level of consumer protection or, who are worried about, you know, what might happen if they don't have those consumer protections have stuck with traditional phones.
I never thought of that. So my cell phone isn't considered a public utility?
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. And part of that was, of course, that when cell phones started, you know, in the 90s, the argument was, well, this is new, and if you want the safe public utility thing, you get a regular phone. If you're willing to take this new technology that, you know, doesn't have the same kind of consumer protections, doesn't have the same kind of reliability built into it, then you can get this nifty new cell phone. And, you know, 99% of the time for most people, you know, that trade-off can be worth it. But, you know, for those times when it matters, for a lot of people it really matters. So therefore, they have a cell phone, but they also keep their landline.
Yeah, that's why my cell phone provider can charge me big fees if I want to, you know, drop out before the contract's up. That doesn't
right,
happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So and all these hidden fees and everything, you know, this is what the FCC calls bill shock. You know, the FCC has rules that prevent that from happening on the traditional phone system, but because wireless is a new technology, they just have not applied those to, well, no longer really new, but they still haven't applied those to mobile or to these internet technologies.
Well, then, what is your reaction to these news stories that AT&T, Verizon want to pull the plug on their copper lines?
Well, you know, we have a couple of reactions to this. Our first reaction is, for a lot of people, this is going to be an upgrade, that there are things you can do with these new technologies, and we should want to see companies invest in new technologies. So in some ways, we're saying, you know, this is a great thing. We think companies ought to invest. On the other hand, we also are saying, look, you know, the phone system of the United States has been the envy of the world for 100 years because we had a really great deal. We said to the phone companies, you know, you're going to get certain privileges. You know, you're going to get the right to put your wires up everywhere and a bunch of subsidies and a whole bunch of other things. And in exchange, we're going to get certain things out of this as well. So we made this a a public utility. We have the social contract that we have said is based on five fundamental principles: service to all Americans, consumer protection, reliability. This has to work the same way every time. We all depend on it. Public safety, you got to be able to reach 911 and use this for emergencies. And competition, which is one of the things that helps to keep prices low and keeps things innovative. So what we've said is we ought to have this transition of the phone system. We ought to look at what the new social contract, the new bargain is going to be for the 21st century. It's not going to be like it was regulated monopoly back in the in the day 100 years ago, but the technology changes, but the social needs and the goals don't. We still have to figure out how to make sure that everybody in the country has service and that it's a reliable service, that it reliably reaches 911, that people have choices, and that there are adequate consumer protection rules for something that everybody uses every day.
We are talking about whether it's the end of the line for landline phones. And we're welcoming your questions for our guest, Harold Feld, Senior Vice President for Public Knowledge, a Washington, D.C.-based group that advocates for public access to the Internet and other communications technologies. Talking about this because phone companies are saying they want to disable their landlines, disable their networks by the end of the decade, some sooner than that. What do you think? Call us on whatever service you use, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In the weather today, mostly sunny, mild, with high temperatures near 80 degrees. Coming up on Central Time today after 4 o'clock, Jean Purcell and Veronica Rickert will discuss a Swedish yard game and why it's so popular in Wisconsin. They'll also talk to the author of a book about the obsessive nature of some of America's most prominent achievers.
Hello?
Hello, we are talking about telephone service. Our guest is Harold Feld, Senior Vice President for Public Knowledge, which is a Washington, D.C.-based group that advocates for public access to the Internet and other communications technologies. We are talking about telephone service because phone companies are saying traditional copper wire phone lines are outdated and costly, and say that customers are shifting towards cell phones and internet-based services, so they want to drop that line. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Our lines are full, so let's go to them. Ann in Viroqua is with us first. Hi, Ann.
Hi. The one thing that hasn't been brought up yet, at least I haven't caught it, is the quality of sound. I have never used a cell phone that sounds as good as an old landline does. And, sometimes a person's voice can sound like they're in a tunnel or like they're from Mars or, anything. Of all the technologies they've come up with, they still haven't been able to duplicate that.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Harold Feld, what's going on there?
Yeah, and this is a very important issue for a lot of people. And it's, again, one of the reasons why, even though a lot of people own cell phones, they also still have a landline. Because we just don't have that quality on wireless. It's a technology issue. There are things in the work that are supposed to help that going forward and get better sound. But, this is always going to be a problem, first of all, in areas where you don't have really great coverage. You're never going to have the same reliability with a wireless phone. And that's a reason why a lot of people are concerned about this transition, because you have a lot of places, particularly once you get outside of the cities, once you get to places where, you have these long lines that get rained on and snowed on and need constant repair. You have the cell phone, you have AT&T and Verizon, who are also cell phone companies, saying, you know what, we'd rather not do copper line to those areas. They're expensive. Everybody likes wireless. Let's just do wireless. And what we have seen in the one place where this has been proposed, which is Fire Island, New York, is that people get very upset about that, not because they don't have wireless phones, but because the wireless service just isn't as good. The sound quality is not as good. The phone is just not as reliable. And we think that this is one of the very big issues that we have to resolve in this transition.
You know, on this show, when we have guests by telephone, we used to have a really hard and fast rule that they had to be on a landline because the sound quality going over the radio was worse on a cell phone, or it would drop out or that sort of thing. We're getting a little less stringent in that rule, though, because we are finding more and more guests don't have landlines. So we have to talk to the guests somehow. Are you on a landline right now, by the way, Harold Feld?
I am indeed on a landline. I am one of these people who I have a cell phone. My wife has two cell phones. My son has a cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone. But I still keep a landline because if I were talking to you on my cell phone, you'd probably hear me fading in and out.
Right, right. And I'm the same way. I thought I was the only one. I have cell phones. My husband and I have cell phones, but we do have our landline still. But, you know, I have considered dumping it because I don't get it. I hardly get any calls on it anymore. Everybody has the cell phone number. Everybody uses the cell phone number. And I only get telemarketers and the pharmacy calling me on my landline.
It's one of these things where we believe that everybody ought to have choices still. And the problem, this is sort of the classic problem that 90% of the time, the quality on your cell phone in most areas is going to be good enough. You know, there's still some areas of the country, in fact, more areas than we'd like to think, where the quality is really not good enough. But, you know, if you're in, you know, a city, you know, you're in Milwaukee or whatever, you know, the quality is usually going to be good enough most of the time. The problem is that 10% of the time when, you know, you need to call 911 and you want to make sure that you know, that they can hear you, or you have an elderly relative who can't understand what you're saying when you're talking on the cell phone, you know, you really want to have that option available. And that's one of our concerns. Is what we've said is, if we're going to say to phone companies, okay, get rid of the copper, go with wireless, that's fine. There's nothing magic about any technology. But make sure the technology is not a step backward for people. If we're going to go with wireless, you got to show that you can get good quality on that wireless connection, that it will reliably connect to 911 every time, that it's going to be, for consumers, at least not a step backward.
Let's go next to Dan in Drummond. Hi, Dan.
Well, your guest brought that up to what I was going to say. There's a lot of people yet that live on their own who are in their 80s and 90s and that are more comfortable with the landline than with the cell phone, because also, too, because of their eyesight and things like this.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point. One of the things about the traditional copper line is that the people who are staying with it tend to be in the most vulnerable population. So you have the elderly who stay with it because they're comfortable with it, because they know it's reliable. They need to make sure that they're going to have that phone line available in a blackout in case they have a medical emergency. A lot of people in immigrant communities use it because you can use those 10 calling cards that give you the international, cheap international calling, so they can call back to their families abroad. Cell phones don't support that service, so, and are pretty bad for international calling if you've got to make international calls. People who live in apartment buildings, particularly people who have in public housing where, you know, you have these big buildings with poor reception inside, depend on the landline. And finally, you know, you got a lot of people in rural areas that you know, the copper line works, and there's maybe one cell tower to cover the whole area, and you know, the cell phone service is spotty.
Yeah, Darsha emails, the elimination of landlines will have a significant impact on rural areas. Some areas still have no cell phone reception at all. Other areas only have unreliable service with only one provider to choose from. So the phone company can't dump copper lines in an area like that, can they, Harold Feld?
Well, unfortunately for Wisconsin, y'all have a problem, because back in 2011, Wisconsin passed a law which eliminated most of the regulation of the phone network. We've traditionally had something that's been called carrier of last resort, and that's an idea that goes back to you know, the the times when we were making sure that everybody had a phone, and we said, okay, you know, you phone carrier, if you want to serve the rich areas and the cities, you also have to make sure that you serve those rural areas and those more expensive areas. You know, and we as a country brought phone to every farm, and we got to make sure that we do the same thing here.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back continuing our talk about the future of telephone service, talking about this because phone companies say that the traditional copper wire phone lines are expensive and outdated, and customers are shifting towards cell phones and other technologies anyway. What do you think? Do you still have a landline phone? Would it be a problem for you if the phone company dropped that traditional landline? Let us know after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Operator, or could you help me place this call? See the number on the matchbook is old and faded.
We are talking about why telephone companies want to drop the traditional copper landline. And we're wondering what that means to you. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Thursday, July 11th. We are talking with Harold Feld, who is a Senior Vice President for Public Knowledge, which is a Washington, D.C.-based group that advocates for public access to the Internet and other communication technologies. And we welcome your calls on whatever service you use. Do you still use a traditional landline phone? Why do you hang on to it? Or have you ditched the landline for a cell phone or internet-based service? How concerned are you about landline service, the traditional copper landline service, going away? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's take another call from Darlene in Oconomowoc. Hi, Darlene.
Hi. I love your show. Okay, this is dear to my heart, because what about the TTY people that are for the deaf or the hard of hearing, and it's typed out for them? And I don't think that's gone to cell phones.
What about that, Harold Feld?
Yeah, this is an excellent point, because one of the core principles that we've had in the country has been that, you know, the phone service is a basic service for everyone. And so we've had a lot of rules in place that say this must be accessible for the hard of hearing community and for others with disabilities as well. What we're seeing happening here is, first, there's tremendous promise in some areas, because a lot of people in the deaf community use these video cell phone services on smartphones like FaceTime. You know, those are just a tremendous boon for deaf-to-deaf communications, although they're not, you still need a translation for, you know, through sign language for deaf to hearing most of the time. What we're seeing is that we're trying to get some technical solutions in place, and this is another aspect of this transition that we feel very strongly about. We're saying you shouldn't pull the plug on traditional copper services until there are actual compatible services in the market. You don't pull up the copper safety net until we know that we have safeguards in place that are going to protect vulnerable populations and consumers generally. A number of the phone companies have been like, well, you know, if we switch to these modern technologies, these internet-based technologies, which some of them you can use over your mobile phone, then the market will come up with solutions like FaceTime or some of these other things. And, you know, frankly, we think that before these companies can turn off the copper network, we got to make sure that these services are out there, that they're available, affordable, and reliable, and not just you know, hope that somebody somewhere invents them and that people who need them can find them and pay for them.
Some of the companies, AT&T is doing some pilot programs along these lines. Is that right?
Well, AT&T has asked the Federal Communications Commission for permission to do pilot programs. And we've been participating in that proceeding. It's an open to the public. I would urge everybody who is interested in this issue to go either to our website at publicknowledge.org or the Federal Communication at fcc.gov and put your comments in the record. AT&T has said to the FCC, look, we're doing this transition. We want to make sure that things don't go wrong. Let us do pilot programs. And what we've said is we think pilot programs are a good idea, but you got to describe them in more detail, and you got to tell us what the safeguard is. When do you what's the condition under which you'll pull the plug and go back to traditional phone if the pilot program starts to go wrong? How are we going to make sure that this works? How are we going to make sure that we get real data and that this isn't just the, you know, when you say pilot program, you mean I'm just going to go ahead and do it and hope that things work out. So that's the AT&T has not started their pilots yet. They are very eager to do that. We think that we ought to have them, but that they ought to be, you know, closely watched, closely supervised with real protections built in, because even though AT&T is participating voluntarily, their subscribers are not participating voluntarily, and nobody likes to be used as a guinea pig.
Stella in Sturgeon Bay is with us now. Hi, Stella.
Hi. I'm very concerned about the potential loss of our landline, which is our telephone service. We don't have cell service, and we have no desire to have cell service. Excuse me. We do not have television, so we do not have cable service. And we do have internet service over our phone line, and our phone bill runs about $37 a month. I'm seriously skeptical that we could possibly get cell phone service for that. And if unless the FCC moves and makes all phone services of all types public utilities and protect with the protections that landlines have, I'm really opposed to the elimination of landlines because we really need those protections.
Yeah, thank you very much, Stella. We have also a comment from one of our Facebook listeners. Oh, John from Green Bay emails, I have a landline because it's cheap. Cell phones are expensive. I do not want to have one. I also get my network on a landline through DSL. This is another forcing of unnecessary expensive technology onto people who do not use it or need it. First on the cost, Harold Feld, are we going to have to pay a whole lot more for phone service if the copper landline is gone?
Well, this is another concern, and this is another point in the debate. And I should point out, when we talk about getting rid of the copper and going with a wireless cell phone service, what companies are talking about is actually not just a traditional mobile cell phone, but a box that they put on your house that basically turns your whole house into a cell phone. So you'd still be able to plug your phone into your existing phone jack and use it that way. So that's a slightly different service. Verizon has a service like that. They call it VoiceLink. We are concerned about the cost. Verizon is doing its VoiceLink deployment. They in a place called called Fire Island, New York, where after Sandy went through last fall, and they decided that's a small community that's kind of rural, even though we don't think of, you know, an hour and a half outside of New York City as rural, but, you know, it's expensive to rebuild the copper there. So they've been putting VoiceLink there, and what they've said is that at least for now, they'll charge the same amount for VoiceLink that they are charging for their copper landline service. But we do think that there's a big problem with cost. Cable companies and a lot of others bundle their landline service with their video service. So, you know, even though their phone cost as a single line item is cheap, you can't get just the phone service, so you have to get the $70 video service in order to get the $10 voice service. Cell phone service can be very expensive, or when it's not, it's limited. You can get cheaper plans, but they tend to have much fewer minutes.
So do you see the cell phone providers, the telephone companies that are providing, you know, cell phone service becoming considered a public utility and regulated in any way?
Well, I think that we need to have this national conversation. One of the and it needs to be on a state level too. You know, the problem for Wisconsin is back in 2011, Wisconsin basically deregulated all of its phone stuff. As of April of this year, you don't even have carrier of last resort protections. If a storm comes and wipes out copper service in some small town, the phone company is no longer obligated to come out and fix it because they just don't have that obligation on the state level anymore.
Yeah,
there are federal rules that kind of cover this, so you know, Wisconsin's not totally unprotected. But this is the debate that's going on now at the Federal Communications Commission in a lot of state legislatures, is what are we going to do? Are we going to look at the world we have today and say, you know what, there are still basic needs. The technology's changed, but the needs don't. Are there basic needs that still need to be met, and we're going to rework our old public utility rules to reflect the fact that, yeah, in some places there's competition and there's choices, but in a lot of places there aren't, and consumers still need to be protected? Or are we going to just say, you know, free market, go ahead, you know, it'll be great where you can get it, and it'll be bad for you if you don't, but that's how free markets work. Until now, we've been going in that second direction. We basically said, oh, this is going to be so wonderful, you know, and everybody has a cell phone, and, you know, the kids these days with their Skype and their texting and blah, 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 the sad truth is that the phone companies have done a good job of going, you know, state by state in 25 states already and kind of waving their hands around and saying, okay, let's deregulate everything. Who needs these old public utility rules from, you know, the Ma Bell days? And we've been seeing around the country where we're deregulating that, you know, problems start cropping up because it turns out our phone system worked really well because it was a public utility. So now we're kind of starting to step back and maybe thinking, you know, maybe there are some of those rules we got to keep. Maybe instead of saying let's deregulate the phone companies so that they can compete better with the cell phone people and the cable people, maybe we ought to be looking at how we make sure that all of these phone providers are providing basic service, that somehow we make sure everybody gets served and that service is reliable with appropriate consumer protections that meets our 911 and public safety needs.
We're talking with Harold Feld. He is a senior vice president for Public Knowledge, which is a Washington, D.C. based group that advocates for public access to the internet and other communication technologies. Talking with us about stories in the news that phone companies want to ditch their traditional copper wire phone lines, saying that it's they're too expensive and they're outdated, and customers are already shifting toward cell phones and internet-based services. Harold Feld is saying that a lot of people still depend on copper lines, and we're talking about how he says we need to ensure a smooth transition to alternative hookups. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question, or if you'd like to tell us whether or not it would be a problem for you if the traditional copper wire phone lines are ditched anytime soon, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly sunny and mild. Highs today will be in the low 80s. Stay with us. Coming up after 7 o'clock this morning, we're going to talk about the decline of manufacturing in this country and how it might come back. We'll be talking with a couple of filmmakers. They are the makers of American-made movie. And we'll talk about that coming up after 7 o'clock.
Hello?
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, July 11th. We are talking about our telephone service and talking about the future of our telephone service and welcoming your thoughts and questions, wondering if you still have a landline. Do you depend on it? Why do you hang on to it? Have you gotten rid of your landline in favor of a cell phone or some other internet-based service for your telephone service? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Jean in Appleton is with us next. Hi, Jean.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to talk about the change from landline to internet phone. I discovered in January that for separate, pretty much standard cable and AT&T phone, I was paying far more than I would be with cable and internet phone. And so I switched, and I only have a cell phone for emergencies, and it's a pay-as-you-go, and it only makes phone calls. It doesn't do anything else. And when I was resisting getting the internet phone, the cable company said, because I was worried about power outages, we are more susceptible out here and we're always the last to be fixed. And so the cable company said, well, we can give you a battery backup modem, which they did. It's a special modem, and the guy had to come out after I got it and put the batteries in because I had to wait for the batteries
right.
to be mailed and all this stuff. Now, I'm wondering, how reliable is that going to be?
Well, and you know what, Jean, no offense, but that internet-based telephone line sounded pretty fuzzy. Did you hear that, Harold Felt?
Yeah, and, you know, this is a great illustration of the issues that we're looking at that we can fix if we make the companies fix them. There was the reason why the traditional copper network works the way it does and why it's so reliable and it has good quality and is self-powered and all these other things is because we had rules that said, build your network that way. So they did. On the internet side of things, we've had, no rules, basically said, we think internet's cool, do what you want. So, when the technology works, it's great. And you can do things with these internet-based services that you can't do with traditional services. And because there's competition in some of these areas, you are seeing, some lower prices for some of these services. So there's a lot of good things that are happening here, and we shouldn't lose sight of that. The problem is things like this battery. I don't know if the service guy told you, but usually these batteries are only good for about 2 hours of active voice service and for 36 hours of passive backup. So if the power goes out for more than 3 days, you may have a problem. And if you're trying to use your phone and have more than 2 hours of conversation during the blackout, you may run out of the battery's likely to run out. Now, some of the companies to address this, particularly after we've had some major, storms like Sandy on the East Coast last year, which knocked out power for 2 weeks for a lot of people. Many of these companies are looking at, can we shift these to something like AA batteries that people can keep in their home? And, that's cheaper and you can just keep putting those in. So, there are problems. I think that one of the problems also is that sometimes the companies that are trying to sell you stuff don't tell you all of the limitations or all of the fine print. But there are technological solutions to this, and that's why, you know, the question is, are we going to hold their feet to the fire? Are we going to say, look, people's lives depend on this? If we're not going to have the copper phone network around, you know, what I like to call the copper safety net, if that's not going to be there, then you got to make sure that the new stuff works as well as the old stuff. And that's, as I say, that's the debate we're having at the Federal Communication Commission. It's the debate we ought to be having in the states. And I hope that if people are concerned, that they'll call their state representative, many of whom voted to get rid of all the regulations, and say, how are you going to protect me now?
Here's an email from Dave in Bristol. Our internet service is delivered over the copper phone wire using dial-up. Cable is not available. And since we have trees by our house, wireless internet does not work. What will replace the copper wire, and will it be affordable?
Well, in some places, we're still going to have the copper wire. It's just going to be, instead of a traditional phone signal, it's going to use an internet-based service. But it sounds like, you know, you're out in an area where copper is expensive. And expensive to maintain. So that's an area that's been targeted probably for copper loop replacement, which means they're going to take away the phone line and go to a pure wireless system. Now, you have problems with trees. You have a lot of problems with terrain, and that's going to be an issue in designing these. And it's a question of, are we going to require them to put the companies to put in enough cell towers and use better technologies that are going to make sure that you actually get that service? Or are we going to just have the current rules, which say, yeah, you know, if you put up one cell tower in the area and call that area served, you're done. What we're saying is we ought to upgrade our systems. We ought to move to next generation of technology. This question that's being asked is exactly the kind of question where, you know, we and others are saying, well, if you're going to move from copper, you got to make sure that you put in enough towers and that you have the quality of service, that you use technology that can go through trees and deliver. Or, you know, for some of these guys, you're going to have to keep that line up until you solve the problem.
Ron in Port Washington is with us. Hi, Ron. We're running short on time, if you could be brief.
I will be as brief as I can. I worry about the business services being served by the cell services. We live in Port Washington. The signal is good in our house. Once we step out of the house, we're done. We all have cell phones in our family, but I will maintain this landline as long as possible because I use the fax machine. We have not been assured that the faxes will work on internet-based service or cell phones. You try to plug a fax machine into your cell phone and you got a big problem.
Yeah. Is he right, yep. Harold Feld?
Yeah, and that's a huge concern because even, the small business community really needs to jump on this. We've had one case, as I say, in Fire Island, New York, where Verizon said, okay, we're not rebuilding the copper. We're going to put back, we're going to give you this wireless service. And that's exactly what happened. You know, they lost their internet because they don't have DSL. They can't use faxes. They can't process credit cards or do ATM service except by getting more expensive and, frankly, less reliable wireless data services. So, this is a problem. You know, people in D.C. don't seem to realize that, you know, for small businesses, a lot of people are still dependent on copper. And hopefully, as we move forward in this transition, the small business community will step up and say that we got to be protected before you pull the plug on copper.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. We had a lot of interest in this hour. I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Harold Feld is with the Washington, D.C.-based group Public Knowledge. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Robin Cherry and to Christy Taylor for on-air direction. And thanks to Justin Williams for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.